brother. What's up?
This is a groovy party, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it. Stop. Right on.
You are a leader. You are invested. This.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother.
Welcome to The Conversation, where today we ask, what's going on? Thank you, Marvin Gaye, for today's theme song. We're talking about the news. Coast Community Radio provides the news. We play Counterspin, we play NPR, we play Democracy Now!, we've got 1A on KCPB, lots of options, morning edition, weekend edition, all things considered, so many options here on our station, but there's options beyond that. And so today's question is, where do you get your information? What are your sources? Is your preference print, radio, internet, television? Do you like to get your news from Facebook, The Daily Show? Mass media, independent journalists, what are your sources? Call in and share with the community. 503-325-0010. I've got a couple of clips lined up from the Q&A that we had last weekend with Media Watch Group FAIR founder, Jeff Cohen. He was in town presenting a screening of his new documentary called A Corporate Coup d'Etat, or The Corporate Coup d'Etat. It was a good event. It was a good documentary, brought to light a lot of things that I think we all already know. But the question is, how do we respond to that information, and how do we move forward with information in a positive way? One of the big parallels that the movie brought home for me was the connection of the Rust Belt, the closing down of all the steel mills, and how those big corporations just walked away from these towns where the steel mill was the source of livelihood for just about everybody in the town. And they moved their manufacturing or their mills into other countries where there are less restrictions environmentally, cheaper labor. And so they walked away from their employees. They just left them in the dust. And so as industries change and evolve, like they all have to eventually, that parallel really struck a chord with me as it relates to life here in the Pacific Northwest with the questions around logging and the sustainability of that industry. And when it does come time for the industry to evolve, to what extent are those major corporate landholders and mill owners going to be there for the employees when they do pack up and skip town? And so one of Jeff Cohen's points was that one way that we can really unite and create positive change is to get the workers together, you know, so say, for example, Timber Unity folks, truck drivers, loggers, whose industry is in the process of evolving, and get them together with the green folks who are trying to start new initiatives to have renewable energy sources and more equitable costs for those utilities and things. So I'll play that clip in a little bit, but I think we've already got our first call. So hi, you're on the air. What's your comment or question for us today?
Actually, when I first heard what your subject was, I thought your timing was impeccable.
Thank you.
Because at this particular time, I happen to be recording Maria Jovanovich's testimony before the subcommittee. And I would love to have some of my neighbors come over, and we sit down, and because it's recorded, we can start playing the facts from the source, the actual hearing,
right,
or actual comments. And then if somebody wants to say something, hit the pause button. Go ahead and have a discussion among our friends, the people we live with, and then continue on and deal with the source. I believe in getting information from the closest source you possibly can.
Right. What do they call that? I'm trying to remember. It's been a long time since I've been in college.
Well, how about the concept of democracy? We can't have people who rule from the people if the people don't know. So these attacks that we have had in the past against the press and against journalists, that is really an attack on what is basic to democracy.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so what are your thoughts on the coverage that you're seeing of these hearings beyond just the actual source material?
Well, when you go back to analysis stuff, I would much rather do my own analysis. I don't need to have somebody else tell me what I just heard. I can go back and play it back. And we're in an age now when we can record and play it back and listen carefully and then hear from other people who say, well, that isn't what happened. Well, let me go back and check on that.
Yeah, and maybe one of the directions that we can try to take things is to be able to have a conversation and agree to disagree or respectfully disagree rather than get our hackles raised and become antagonistic about it.
That's also really basic to democracy, the concept of civility. Mm-hmm. We cannot have a democracy where we all are informed and therefore vote if we can't talk to each other. That has to do with civility. It does no good to attack. It just makes everybody get defensive.
Agreed. Well, thank you for that comment today.
Yeah, thank you for the program.
Sure thing. Take care.
Take care yourself.
Bye. So, as I mentioned about Jeff Cohen, here's a little bit about Jeff. He is a journalist, a media critic, a professor, and the founder of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. And so they're known as FAIR, a media watchdog group in the United States. He's a retired associate professor of journalism at Ithaca College, where he was an endowed chair and founding director of the Park Center for Independent Media. He was formerly a lawyer for the ACLU and authored or co-authored 5 books that criticize media bias, mainly written with 2012 Congressional District 2 candidate Norman Solomon. And so, as you see, Jeff has a pretty decent resume. And his job is to be a critic of media. And so we were very fortunate to have him at the Liberty Theater, where we presented his new documentary, A Corporate Coup d'Etat. And he was also very generous to stick around afterwards and have a very engaging Q&A with the audience that was there. And so I tried to capture a few moments of that. And so we're going to listen to this, and you can still call in 503-325-0010. Like the last caller said, I can hit pause and we can have a little conversation about what we just heard, or we can just keep going through it. But I think that some of his points are very valid. And so here we go. Here's Jeff Cohen.
Insulting young people. We're going to bring in all this new energy. We're going to transform this party and fight on all these democratic issues of basic voting rights. Amazing things can happen. But how did the leadership of the Democratic Party react to the Sunrise Movement, one of the great youth movements? Almost everyone in Sunrise is under 26. They've made Green New Deal a household word, a household phrase. How did Nancy Pelosi react to that? The Green Dream, or whatever they call it. She didn't deign to even study a one-page summary of what they're proposing. And Green New Deal is a way that you can weld together these workers, even those who voted for Trump, with militant environmentalists. Because besides addressing climate change with a program of radically moving away from fossil fuels to renewable, it's a massive jobs programs and the kinds of jobs that can't be outsourced. When you hire working class people and pay them union wages to retrofit every building, every hospital, every school, big apartment buildings, those are jobs that cannot be done by computers or robots, cannot be outsourced. So the Green New Deal is frankly the way to win over these swing voters, get some of the, maybe get 2 million of the 95 million eligible voters who didn't vote last time, and then you win in a landslide.
Okay, so I'm going to pause it there, but that's that really good point that I was mentioning. And we do have another call. So hi, you're on the air. What's your comment or question?
Hello there, Graham.
Hi.
I'm a journalist, and I write for HipFish. And because our regular paper does not usually report on sustainable energy or electric vehicles and their charging infrastructure or the fact that our watersheds are under attack by pesticides, you know, by logging companies that are spraying. And so that's one of the reasons I write the articles I do. I get in-depth information about this by going to Solar Power International and to various meetings where I can find out what's really going on in this county and writing about it.
Well, good for you. Because thank you for that.
I was very frustrated that none of this was being written about. And so I changed my focus on my writing to do that.
Well, thank you so much for doing that. That's great. And so we'll add HipFish to our list of a good place to get your news.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
You bet. Bye.
And so let's see. Going back to Jeff's comment, uniting the workers and the green, what he referred to as militants, and the difference between a job that, you know, a computer could do or a robot could do versus a job that only a human can do, and that's where we maybe need to be putting our focus. So one of the things that we were sent by Jeff was a list of recommended independent news sources. And so, you know, while I hope that Coast Community Radio is at the top of your list, I don't think it should be the only place that you get your news. And we don't play news all day. And so when you're enjoying evening jazz, maybe you want to log on to one of these websites that Jeff Cohen and his team recommends. So has anyone ever visited commondreams.org? Democracynow.org is near the top of his list. TheIntercept.com is one that I'm going to be spending some time with, because in the documentary, a couple of the journalists that were interviewing lobbyists or congresspersons, et cetera, were from The Intercept, and they were asking the difficult questions. They weren't lobbing softballs, as they say. And so I have a lot of respect for the contribution that the journalists from The Intercept made to the corporate coup d'etat film. And so just to reframe a bit here, if you're just joining us, this is The Conversation on Coast Community Radio, and we are talking about the news and where to get your news, what are trustworthy sources, how do we avoid media bias, and how do we digest news in a way that's productive rather than what is sometimes referred to as just narrating the nightmare. So we've got another call. Hi, you're on the air. What's your comment or question?
I'm just going to fill in your blank. Prime source, I believe, is the term you were looking for.
Prime source, yes, thank you. And so that's like looking at a letter that someone wrote to someone else rather than reading a paper about the letter that someone wrote to someone else. Primary source?
Prime or primary.
Okay.
Prime, I believe, was the term, but that also goes along with the old adage of the winner writes the book.
Right. Yes.
So,
yeah. Well, good comment,
anyway,
and thanks for filling in
Coast
the gap for us.
Radio is basically my prime source for what's happening in the community, and I do love you.
Great. Well, thanks for the call, and thanks for the compliment.
Bye.
Bye. We've got another caller on the line that's going to get transferred in by our fine front desk volunteer, Pete, who's handling our phones this morning. Thanks, as always, to our volunteers, and especially those who perform really important functions like this. Hi, you're on the air. What's your comment or question?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was at the Liberty myself that night, and I appreciated all his blog sources, the internet sources for news, but I think what was absent was the vast amount of printed news that's out there. We simply have to subscribe as The Nation, as Defense, as Jacobin. There's a lot of good news sources out there that bring it closer to truth than a lot of the right-wing media.
So can you repeat some of those sources again? And if you don't mind, talk a little bit more directly into the microphone of your phone. It's a little bit hard to hear you.
Okay. The Nation, Jacobin, and Dissent.
And are those in a weekly or a monthly format, or how are those presented?
Jacobin's are quarterly, Dissent's are monthly, The Nation's are weekly.
And so did you have any big takeaways from the film or from Jeff's talk?
No, he was pretty much on the same page he is, I should say. I might be a little bit more left than he is, but we're simply fine-tuning.
Yeah, well, I think that this is an interesting topic for me, because my sense was that everyone who was there and watching the film already kind of knew the deal. You know, people weren't there to learn something new. They were there to be engaged with each other around these topics. And that I think that that's maybe part of what I'm trying to promote in this show is, you know, rather than just passively listening, but becoming a little bit more engaged with the news and how we as a community absorb some of this stuff. And I think also how we decide what is really important to be focusing on. So I went to some of the websites that Jeff recommended just to kind of check them out. And, you know, one of the points that's made is, like, what's happening in Congress right now during these impeachment hearings, which are consuming just about every inch of journalism real estate. And so, you know, it's kind of that smoke and mirrors thing that I worry about, where, you know, I don't want to be worried about what somebody tweeted on the toilet at 2 a.m. I want to be worried about legislation that affects everybody in our country and potentially in the world as well. So
I'm going to hang up on here very shortly, but I just want to sum it up with, I hope there's more emphasis on printed media, because it's a great way to look at it again and truly understand what you're seeing.
Well, and to keep a record of it as well. Yep.
Goodbye.
Thanks for the call. The number is 503-325-0010. We're talking about the news and what your favorite sources are to get the news. We had a couple folks respond to my Facebook post about where they get the news, so I'll share some of those for you. Kevin in Astoria said that all of my, and he used quotes around news, all of my news, I hope I read that correctly, comes from the internet. I read the headlines in Google News, Al Jazeera, LA Times, New York Times, sometimes El País or Süddeutsche Zeitung, since I can read German and Spanish. I never watch local or national TV news, nor do I listen to NPR. My total active consumption of news probably takes 10 minutes or less. It's as much as I care to torture myself. Some days I think about cutting back. So that's what Kevin had to say about his sources for news and how he ingests it and digests it. And then we heard from Sharon as well. She says, I was an NPR fan for years and would just leave it on as background noise for hours until sometime last week when something snapped in my soul and I turned that stuff off. And now I can't bring myself to listen, read, or even engage with news sources at this time. All the yelling, arguing, crass behavior, negativity, name-calling, and general insanity was affecting my psyche deeply, and I just can't deal with the media circus at this time. I realize this is a little Pollyanna-ish, but what's happening out there is so nasty, vicious, and so outrageously awful that it's affecting my joy of living. However, when anyone posts anything, even slightly sketchy, I Snope the article. Snope is with a capital S. I guess that's sort of like a fact-checking website, possibly. It blows my mind how many people repost complete and absolute fallacies on Facebook and actually believe them. I had no idea so many of my friends were conspiracy theorists. Thanks for that comment, Sharon. And so let's return to what Jeff was talking about here during the Q&A. And Jeff is one of the founders of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, FAIR.
So you can, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit to, I've heard you say, you know, Republicans, Democrats. My perspective is that those two parties are entrenched. A third party, which everybody seems to, you know, the cliche is, well, you can't win as a third party. The truth, though, is that voting is about numbers, and a third party that would control, say, even 10% of the vote would cause such a shift in both parties, because when you look at the numbers for legislation, county, state, federal, they're always very close, within 5 to 10%. So a third party, though small, would have tremendous leverage on legislation. And yet, we generally, not in the media, not in political discussions, do we ever consider a third party? It seems to me that that really is a solution.
So the question here is about a third party.
Large party problem.
Yeah, the question was about a third party. I mean, you know, my reaction whenever I hear about we should form a third party is, as my friend Jim Hightower is always saying, I'd settle for a second party. So, my goal is, I mean, the problem with the third party analysis is that if you've got good progressive people who know the issues of economic justice and safety and planet from climate change, you'd be pulling voters away from the Democrat. It helps the right wing win. And there's no way around that. Now, in local elections, I'm a big supporter, like the woman who has just became a city council member in Philadelphia on the Working Families Party. I'm a big supporter of independent runs in local elections. But at the national level, if you pulled away even 3%, let alone 10%, I think it helps Trump get reelected. It would help McConnell in Kentucky, where he's now in trouble. Remember, McConnell's state, the governor just got defeated, and he was like a Donald Trump before Trump. He was elected in 2015, went after the unions, went after the school teachers, went after public pensions, and he got punished in a state that went for Trump 20%, and he couldn't win re-election. So there's exciting things. I just feel my dream has always been to put together union and working class activists with green activists, and you get them together, it's an unstoppable force. And that's why I'm so big on the Green New Deal. Naomi Klein has a new book on the Green New Deal. And by the way, she did something this weekend she's never done. She formally endorsed for president. She endorsed Bernie. Yes?
How do you respond to the national security state threat to opposition and the undermining of progressive party initiatives?
Yeah. How do I react to the national security state and its threats to progressive initiatives? We have a big problem in this country. We showed it a little bit when Lee Fong, the great young reporter, is trying to get an answer from a former cabinet member who's now a lobbyist for the big military-industrial complex, one of the biggest firms. We have a problem in this country where we are so wealthy as a country, but all the wealth is going to the top, or it's going to the military. Most of the discretionary budget, federal budget, goes to the military. And it keeps bloating and bloating, and the more money they have, the more needless, counterproductive, immoral wars we will engage in. So what happened when Trump comes into power and he announces that he's going to increase the military budget? It was already bloated. He was going to increase it 11% over the next 2 years. How did our Democratic Party leadership react? And this is, you know, my quip about, you know, I'd settle for a second party. Pelosi and Schumer immediately put out statements about, and I wrote a column about this, Democrats give little alternative to war-weary voters. You can find it anywhere on the internet. Pelosi and Schumer each put out statements about how they were fighting so hard to make sure that Trump got the defense, what they call it, defense spending that he wants. This is what they did. So if you got the money going to the military and the wealth going to the top in a country as wealthy as ours, no wonder the college students are being soaked. No wonder people can't get affordable health care or housing. And you know, if you read the New York Times, listen to NPR, CNN, I mean, if you watch the Democratic debates on CNN, debates sort of fascinate me because I've been analyzing them for decades now. And you know, when CNN had four Republican debates in 2016, every one of those debates, they added, because the Republican National Committee demanded it, they added a right-wing journalist to the panel to ask questions of Republicans aspiring to be president. One of them was Hugh Hewitt, the the right-wing talk show host. There was one debate that CNN hosted, Republican debate in 2016, where they had two of their own reporters and two right-wing journalists, Hugh Hewitt and someone from the Washington Times. So FAIR, a Media Watch group I started, I encourage everyone to go to FAIR.org and RootsAction.org, which is an online group that I founded with Norman Solomon. We started petitioning CNN and said, just basic fairness would require, when you have Democratic debates in 2020, that instead of just having CNN reporters, you add an outspoken, outright progressive journalist to the panel. We suggested Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez from Democracy Now. One of them would have changed the nature of the debate. We suggested perhaps someone from The Intercept. That could be someone like Lee Fong or Ryan Grimm. Or we suggested someone from TheNation.com. That might have been Katrina Vandenhoevel. It would have changed the nature, but in that absence, where CNN's whole job is to try to make sure that the Democrats don't interfere with the corporate profits of their owners and sponsors, you heard one question after another, why are you gonna kick 150 million people off of the healthcare that they love from Aetna and Cigna? Now, I've been searching for a year now, and I haven't found that one individual, let alone the 150 million, I mean, the simple answer to that question, and it's not allowed on CNN, and thankfully these debates get Bernie and Warren into the picture, but day after day you just hear about how everyone's going to lose the private health care that they love. And the obvious answer is, if Medicare for all, each person will get more coverage with more choice, spending less money. And it's not rocket science. We can look to that revolutionary communist state to our north, Canada, where they have better healthcare outcomes, and all my filmmaking team are Canadians, better healthcare outcomes for far less money and more coverage. So again, when you look, how many people saw, Jake Tapper kept pressing them. And then you hear, here's the other thing you get from the corporate media that doesn't give a damn about labor unions or union workers. What about these union contracts where the unions have fought so hard to preserve and hold on to their health care? What are you going to say to those union workers? Well, the obvious thing you're going to say to the union workers is, if we had Medicare for all, you could actually be demanding better working conditions and higher wages like they do in Canada. Yes.
So again, that's Jeff Cohen in his Q&A with the audience after the screening of the corporate coup d'etat last weekend. And we were proud to present that screening and that event. So we're coming up to the top of the hour here on The Conversation. The topic today was the news and what are your sources. And so we went through a few websites, but we also got a call promoting good print journalism, including The Nation, The Jacobian, The Hip Fish. I actually recall that the Willamette Weekly broke some pretty big stories. And so sometimes really in-depth and investigative journalism can come from sources that you maybe don't expect. So if you want to make one last call, the number is 503-325-0010. We've got a few minutes before the top of the hour. If you'd like to weigh in on how you get your news or how it's best received and processed, I really appreciated the call earlier in the show that recommended recording prime sources, but not just by yourself, then inviting a group of friends over to enjoy it. Maybe enjoy is not the right word, but to ingest it and then have a conversation about it. And that ability to press pause and to have a conversation about maybe a point or a topic or something that was said is, I think, a really healthy piece of that recommendation. So if you think of other sources that you want us to kind of keep on file here at the radio station, I encourage you to send me an email. My first name, Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M, at coastradio.org. I also welcome your suggestions for topics for the show. I know that there's a lot going on locally and regionally, as well as nationally. And so we want you to have input on the direction that this show takes as well. Thank you so much to everyone who called in today. And thank you to everyone who listened as well. We heard What's Going On by Marvin Gaye as our theme song today.